What is the origin of the dwarves in Tolkien's Legendarium? Where do they come from, and what sets them apart from all the other races? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. If you're new here, welcome. Adaptations of Tolkien's works often portray dwarves as comic relief, sometimes two-dimensional and not really to be taken seriously. This could not be further from the reality of Tolkien's dwarves, who he consistently described as noble and complex beyond human understanding. To understand the dwarves' origin story, we have to go back, way back, into the mists of Middle-earth time, before men and even the elves had awoken. The Valar had made the earth ready for the children of Ilúvatar and were waiting. They knew the elves would someday appear, but not exactly where or when, so they waited. And some, it seems, waited more patiently than others. This is only to be expected. Each of the Valar was aligned in spirit to different parts of Aru's thought and character, so their own characters varied. Aula, the smith, was concerned with rocks and metals and crafting. There was within him an echo of Aru's spark of creativity, and he yearned to teach others the wonders of crafting and making things. So it is no surprise that he, more than most of the Valar, grew impatient. We read this in the Silmarillion. So greatly did Aula desire the coming of the children, to have learners to whom he could teach his lore and his crafts, that he was unwilling to await the fulfilment of the designs of Ilúvatar. And Aula made the dwarves, even as they still are, because the forms of the children who were to come were unclear in his mind, and because the power of Melkor was yet over the earth, and he wished, therefore, that they should be strong and unyielding. But fearing that the other Valar might blame his work, he wrought in secret. And he made first the seven fathers of the dwarves in a hall under the mountains in Middle-earth. So Aula made the first seven dwarves in secret under the mountains in Middle-earth before the elves and humans had made an appearance on the surface. At which point we should probably just note one of the key theological points in Tolkien's Legendarium, because it's very important here. Only the one god of his universe, Eru, Ilúvatar, can create things ex nihilo, from nothing. And only he can create consciousnesses or souls. Anyone thinking they can do so themselves, or attempting to do so, is guilty of a terrible thing. What Aula was doing here was clearly running very close to that, though of course he did not have the power to give them free will. He could teach them a language he had made for them, and he started doing that, and moving them around and control them, but they had no free will. If he moved on to other projects, they would just stand idle. At which point, Eru intervened, questioning Aula. And Aula responded well, saying that he was only so engaged with making things because Eru had made him that way, that he now offered his new creations to Eru to do with as he willed, but that if he had offended him by making them in the first place, then he would destroy his new creations, and he lifted his hammer to do just that. We read on. Ilúvatar had compassion upon Aula and his desire, because of his humility, and the dwarves shrank from the hammer and were afraid, and they bowed down their heads and begged for mercy. And the voice of Ilúvatar said to Aula, "Thy offer I accepted even as it was made. Dost thou not see that these things have now a life of their own, and speak with their own voices? Else they would not have flinched from thy blow, nor from any command of thy will." Then Aula cast down his hammer and was glad, and he gave thanks to Ilúvatar. So basically, Ilúvatar had mercy and went even further, breathing life into Aula's creation and calling them his adopted children. But he did insist that the dwarves and Aula would have to wait until their proper time. The elves would be the firstborn of the children of Ilúvatar, as per the original plan, and only after they had awakened in Middle-earth could the dwarves awake. Ilúvatar put them to sleep, and Aula hid them deep under the mountains across Middle-earth, where they would be awoken by Ilúvatar when the time was right. Which is why we have the seven tribes of dwarves, for the seven fathers of the dwarves awoke in different places with their wives, and established their realms there. We read most about the Longbeards, Durin's folk, Durin established himself under the Misty Mountains with what would eventually become Khazad-dûm, but the other tribes were no less noble or dwarf-like. And there was an eighth tribe as well, formed from those driven out of their original tribes, that we only know as the Petty Dwarves, a rather derogatory name given to them by the elves, who basically hunted them into extinction. But this is how the dwarves as a whole are described in the Silmarillion. A tough, thrawn race for the most part, secretive, laborious, retentive of the memory of injuries and of benefits, lovers of stone, of gems, of things that take shape under the hands of the craftsman, rather than things that live by their own life. But they are not evil by nature, and few ever served the enemy of free will, whatever the tales of men alleged. For men of old lusted after their wealth and the work of their hands, and there has been enmity between the races. The enmity between men and dwarves is obviously mirrored by that between elves and dwarves, and to be fair, between elves and men too. It was something Ilúvatar warned Aula about when he gave them life. All of which explains why the dwarves are a bit of a mystery to everyone. As far as the Valar were concerned, they weren't part of the original plan. They had been told to expect the children of Ilúvatar, elves and men, not dwarves. And even after Ilúvatar had blessed his creation, Aula didn't tell the other Valar, except his wife Yavanna. There's a rather fun little exchange when he tells her about it all and she gets concerned that the dwarves might chop down some trees. The natural world was her area of rule and concern. Aula points out gently that humans and elves will also be doing that, so this doesn't change much, but she takes it up with Manwë. The result is the creation of the Ents to shepherd and protect the trees. We're left to wonder whether the Ents would have been created but for the dwarves. Anyway, the dwarves remained a mystery, something the other races and even the Valar could never fully understand. There's no coincidence that when Sauron tried to corrupt them with the Seven Rings of Power, it was largely a failure. We're explicitly told that they indeed proved tough and hard to tame. They ill endure the domination of others, and the thoughts of their hearts are hard to fathom. And the mystery extends to what happens to them when they die. For elves, for example, it's quite clear, but for dwarves, we read this. It was held among the elves in Middle-earth that, dying, the dwarves returned to the earth and the stone of which they were made. Yet that is not their own belief. For they say that Aula the Maker, whom they call Mahal, cares for them and gathers them to Mandos in halls set apart, and that he declared to their fathers of old that Ilúvatar will hallow them and give them a place among the children in the end. Then their part shall be to serve Aula and to aid him in the remaking of Arda after the last battle. So the dwarves seem sure about what will happen to them, but others aren't so sure, and the dwarves seem unique in believing in reincarnation of sorts. Each of the seven tribes believe that their patriarch, Durin, say, for the Longbeards, returns to live again with them on occasion as the ages passed, taking on the same name. And it's even a bit of a mystery what happens to the dwarves in Middle-earth after all the dust died down after the War of the Ring. We know that the elves sailed west or faded, the orcs died, the ents slowed and slept as trees, humanity spread and the dominion of man began, but dwarves, this is what we read. The line of Dain prospered, and the wealth and renown of the kingship was renewed, until there arose again for the last time an heir of that house that bore the name of Durin. And he returned to Moria, and there was light again in deep places, and the ringing of hammers and the harping of harps, until the world grew old and the dwarves failed, and the days of Durin's race were ended. Which is very poetic and beautiful, but basically just says that they went back to focusing on dwarfy things and slowly faded from history. So to most of the people of Middle-earth, they didn't know where dwarves came from or where they were going to, and while they were there, the thoughts of their hearts were hard to fathom. All too often, this mystery caused enmity with other races. Tolkien knew how easily humans can hate that which they do not understand, but Tolkien didn't want us to hate the dwarves. Far from it. He showed us that they were capable of great honour and works of astounding beauty. Tolkien affirmed again and again how incorruptible they were, and showed us in Gimli one of the noblest members of the Fellowship. Tolkien had a special place in his heart for dwarves, and wanted us to see that Ilúvatar did too. Their differences are not something to be feared, but embraced, for a dwarf's friendship is not easily lost. And if Tolkien had a special place in his heart for the dwarves, then I think we should too. If you'd like more videos like this, diving into Tolkien's legendarium, there's a link to my playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page appearing now on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.